On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina. All right, everybody, I'm here with Jose Vasquez of the Texas Rangers organization. Jose, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate your time. Tell the listeners about yourself, if you would, please.
Chris, thanks for having me. I'm Jose Vasquez. I am going into my 18th season in the big leagues. I started with the New York Mets in 2002 as the assistant strength coach, and I have been with the Texas Rangers since the 2006 season. I originally started as a physical therapist, but as a former player and always been into strength and conditioning personally, when I got out of PT school, I gravitated toward the strength and conditioning side of things, and baseball is always been it's always been my main sport, so it was a natural progression to get into that. I always felt like growing up that baseball was missing the strength and conditioning component. So it was something that I gravitated towards as I was trying to follow my professional passions.
For sure. And so you've been in for a very long time. And so I'm really, really interested in this one. I want to hear your best professional baseball story. Whether it's a story of success or just something cool that you did. We were talking off camera about your time overseas. What is your best memory in professional baseball?
I got a lot of stories. As far as the most special trip, there's been two special trips that mean a lot to me. The first one was the All-Star Game in 2017, being selected for the American League. Coach, that was a special moment because as a former athlete, any kind of All-Star Game, it's a meaningful thing. As a coach, it also is very meaningful. But as a strength coach in MLB, it's special because it's new. It started with Gene Coleman in 2012. So being selected, the fifth guy being selected since the award started, that was special. Second thing, my trip to Japan, MLB All-Stars, that was a very special trip. By people that knew me and people that know that I've been around the game for a while. As far as the, other special moments have been the two World Series that I got to be part of. Unfortunately, we didn't win it in either one, but there were so many great moments in the especially in the 2011 World Series. As I think of some of those moments, I still feel the butterflies and the that excitement and the numbing feeling, thinking about, man, I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe I was able to be part of a championship team. I would say the 2011, probably one of the most special coaching moments of my career.
Yeah, for sure, man. That's awesome. And you've done so much and you've seen so much and just all those experiences, I'm sure, have been really good. And so I want to know, what do you believe in within strength and conditioning that others think you are crazy for believing?
Two things. Even though it's changing now, but it's two things that I always think back. And it's like, people always thought I was crazy. My very first job, first meeting that I had with the trainers and the head strength coach. And my first question was, what do you guys do for evaluation? How do you evaluate your players before you put them on programs? and the reaction I got was like, well, we don't do that here. This is the big leagues. And I've always had that an issue with that in professional baseball, we approach a player or make a program for a player without actually doing some sort of evaluation. I mean, what kind of evaluation? A lot of everybody has opinions and everybody has their own take on things, but I've always felt like it's an irresponsible thing to put a player on a program without evaluating the player first. That was like the main, that's the one thing that stuck with me all throughout the years, and it's getting better, and I think organizations are beginning to buy into it, and but I mean, I was pushing for player evaluations and assessments back in 2002, and people thought I was crazy. The other thing that I felt like people thought I was crazy, and I'm not the only one on this, but heavy lifting. Players and coaches and GMs and people in the industry, sometimes they misunderstand what heavy lifting is, that heavy weight training is, and the purpose and why it has its place. And heavy weight training has always been a thing that people always thought, man, you're crazy for doing that with those guys. Aren't you going to hurt them? And I was like, well, no, I will hurt them if I don't do it. So that those two things, I feel like I have had to battle, and I've had to sell those two ideas for many, many years.
Yeah, the more people that I talk to on here, the more I kind of get that answer of the heavy lifting in season and how you can do it as long as it's appropriate. And like you said, I think there's just a misconception of what heavy lifting is. It's not maxing out like a power lifter or a strongman. It's, you know, within the reason and within the context of your program, being able to lift heavy in season.
Yeah, and even if you want to take the heavyweight training, that topic by itself, the way to do it, if you do some assessments on these guys, then you know that they can handle such loads. And so if you don't evaluate, then yeah, maybe perhaps it might be a little dangerous to do it if you don't evaluate. But if you do, then there's no reason why that can't be done.
Can you go into that a little bit, evaluating maybe in season or even in spring training when guys first come in, or any exit like evaluations that you're doing? Can you dive into that further, or are you not at liberty to speak about that?
No, that's no problem. You know, evaluations can come in different forms. I've always tried to, whether it was collectively or individually, to do some sort of functional movement screen. Not necessarily the main movement screen, but I always felt like the squatting movement was very important for all these guys. So I always did some sort of squatting, whether it's single leg, double leg. I've always been aware of the hip, knee, and ankle range of motion, and I've always been mindful of those three joints when I do heavy lifting, when I do squatting movements. The other thing too, when it comes to evaluation, is trying to get a sense of player training history. When you get a guy from a Division I school, you know that this guy's probably been exposed to lifting, so I really don't worry too much about those guys because they usually come with good technique. Whereas you get a guy from the Dominican who has been Dominican trained, and he grows up in the minor leagues through, you know, with whatever team or even your own team, you still have to go back to the very basics of having them perform a bodyweight squat and see if they can perform it before they can put some weight on their back. So getting some kind of background and history on their training is always very, very important to me. And then, you know, as we've gotten a little more technological, I also know that, well, let me take that back a couple steps. I've always been a big proponent of testing. So through vertical jumps, I can always assess the power potential that an athlete has. So if I got a guy that can jump over 30 inches, and he can't squat, then that's where my evaluation begins. So, you know, even with my back in 2003 and four with the Mets, we started doing vertical jumps with everyone. And we began to see that there were guys that could jump out of the roof, but they couldn't squat. So I said, okay, well, we need to kind of strengthen and harness that power that this guy has. And so we kind of went back and tested guys to see if they had the range of motion to begin the heavy lift. Now, you know, throughout the years, we've become a little more sophisticated. So now we have the velocity based training devices. You know, we use the gymware. So now, even with those things, it's even easier to go ahead and put somebody with some light loads and hey, move them fast. And that gives me a sense of where they're at. And so that's an easy tool where every workout is a test. So every workout, I'm going to get some feedback. Oh, this guy's operating at a 400 pound rep max, or this guy's operating at 450 rep max. So I've kind of gotten a little more sophisticated with some of that stuff, but the end goal is the same: is do they have the range of motion? Do they have the understanding of the technique and they can show me that they can perform? And then now we're starting to add, you know, gym aware, and also the force plates, how much force they can put on the ground. So I'm adding that technology to it. But the goal is the same. Is just, you know, can you do it? Have you done it before? And then let's go from there.
Yeah, for sure. The technology definitely helps make the process a little easier and the understanding a little better. But like you said, the end goal is still the end goal, whether you have it or not. And I think there's a lot to take away from that. Just make sure that we're evaluating, and even just a daily assessment of just watching guys move in a warm-up kind of goes a long way to tell you where a guy is for that day.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of guys that work underneath you or with you within your organization, and I want to know what you make or what makes a strength and conditioning coach successful in your mind. Your coaches on your staff, if they're doing something, what is it that looks like success for you?
A couple things. Number one, a single message. One thing that I've been with Texas now 13 years, and the meeting that I was just at, we were talking about player development and all the changes that have occurred in player development the last 13 years. And the one constant has been the minor league coordinator and me. And the one thing that I feel like, as I listen to the other departments talking about their message, and I'm like, we've had the same message the whole time. We've been together for 13 years. And the one thing that I've always told them, I said, look, you and I are going to plan this because the message is going to be uniform from top to bottom. I know a lot of organizations that Major League does one thing, Minor League does one thing. I said, when it comes to what we do, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to promote the same principles, and we're going to promote the same ideas from top to bottom, because strength and conditioning is strength and conditioning. I don't care if it's Major League or Minor League. So success to me means having one message throughout the system. And as I sit right now, I can gladly say that we are the only department that have had the same people for 13 years. And we are the most consistent department that we have right now. So consistent message is one. And number two, I think for me as a Major League strength coach is making sure that the guys that work in the minor leagues, they feel like they're developing professionally. Because not everybody can move up each year and get to the big leagues as fast, you know, as fast as they want to go. But I feel like as a strength coach, all the time, you should always be striving to get better at your profession improve your skills, improve your knowledge base, improve your communication skills. So I felt like it was important to me that if I leave today, that my guys can look back at the time that they were working with me, that they say, you know what, this guy poured into me professionally, personally. He provided us with ways to get better, gave me opportunities to do things that I couldn't do before, or work with players that I wasn't allowed to work with in other organizations or whatever. So I've taken the approach for me to be successful, I want to leave something behind for the guys that come after me, that, you know what, Jose taught me this, or Jose introduced me to this type of training and now I'm better at this. So to leave something behind, to leave some sort of legacy for the guys that come behind me so that they can pass it along too.
Yeah, two things come to mind there for me. First, the single message thing, I love that. I really think that goes a long way when players move up and down and they see that the guy at AA is preaching the same thing as high A, as low A, as triple A, big leagues. If that same message is consistent across the board, I think it goes a long way for buy-in. And then the second thing, and you talk about leaving a legacy, and it sounds like you've also hired people who are willing to learn. You can put out whatever you want, but if you have guys working for you who are just not willing to make themselves better, it's kind of like beating your head against the door. So it sounds like you've hired the right people for what you're trying to leave. And I know a few of your guys in your organization, and I know they're very open to learning and very open-minded and good people and good strength coaches. So it sounds like you have a really good situation with your staff over there.
Yeah. I'm very proud of the guys that I work with.
Yeah, I can tell. And like I said, the guys I know are, you know, they're all cut from the same cloth, it sounds like. So kudos to you for developing that over the last 13 plus years, you and Nappy.
Yeah, thank you.
So advice for others in the field, maybe young guys that want to try to move up to the big league someday, or even coaches that have been around a while who are just trying to stay on top of things, what advice do you have?
First thing is, like, you got to know what you believe in. And because as a strength coach in the big leagues, my experience has been that you're not going to get a lot of face time, meeting time. Sometimes the GM might just pop up out of nowhere in the hallway and say, hey, what are we doing about so-and-so? And you got to be ready to answer confidently, intelligently. What are your core beliefs as a strength coach? I believe in power. I believe in heavy lifting. I believe in whatever it is that you feel like your core values as a strength coach are. So you got to have that at the tip of your tongue. It has to be intelligent, but it also has to be brief. You know, a lot of times you can't get too wordy because you have a small window to explain yourself a lot of times. So it's important that you know your stuff. So that's obviously, that's the educational part. Now, I feel like the professional and personal part of it is number one, how you communicate, and number two, how you present yourself. Every day, I look for ways to learn how to talk, communicate better. That's something that is so important as a human being in general. Every organization and every year when they go over the things they want to improve on, communication is always at the top of their list. Oh, we got to improve communication top to bottom, and you know. And I think very few people understand what that means. And I feel like every one of us are wired differently. Some guys are more outgoing. Some guys are more introverted. But the reality of this is a people business, and you got to learn how to deal with people, get your message across. You need to be patient with people. You need to be, kind. You need to. One piece of advice, work on your communication skills. There's plenty of courses, there's plenty of books, there's plenty of material out there on how to communicate professionally. And that, I cannot stress that enough, because when I first started, I thought that this job was about reading as many books on exercise science as I possibly could. I wanted to know all the coolest exercises. I wanted to be, you know, every exercise known to man. And I realized that if I can't get my message across to the player and get him to believe in what I'm selling, it doesn't matter how many books I've read. And so, and the other part of that is, I remember Oliver Meal at a NSCA conference say, "You're only as good as your GM thinks you are." So not only are you have to sell your players, you have to sell your general manager constantly, because the player and general manager, they're always being inundated with ideas from people on the outside constantly. And so you need to be able to be in the know what's going on and be able to sell your stuff, sell yourself, sell what you know. And so that is also part of communication, because we're constantly competing with outside influences to get that message of what this player needs. And it's a battle. It's a battle every day to communicate what you believe in, what you think it's important to that player, based on your experience, based on your expertise. It's important for them to know that you know your stuff. So, and how you communicate that is crucial. It's crucial. I can't stress that enough.
Yeah, absolutely. And that leads me into my next question here, is where are you going for continuing ed? What books are you reading? Any seminars you're attending in the off seasons, any podcasts you're listening to? Where are you going to improve yourself?
Yeah. I have let's see how many categories. All right. So I think that we all have a lot of dimensions to us. You know, you got the spiritual, you got the mental, you got the physical, and then you got your hobbies, you know? So, you know, from my spiritual, you know, I read the Bible every day. I read the Bible and I pray every day, try to feed myself spiritually. Mentally, I read a lot of books on psychology. I've read a lot of books on psychology since I started as a strength coach. I turned to psychology because I realized that there's more to a strength coach than meets the eye. So I've read a lot of psychology books, from the typical Harvey Dorfman Mental Game of Baseball type of things, and the Ken Revisa type books, to criminal profiling. I mean, I've read books on lying and lie detection and profiling people. So I'm a big fan of criminal profiling. So I feel like profiling people and putting people in categories is also helpful, because you got guys that trying to sneak things by you, and you know that they're not working, and you know that they're not doing what they're supposed to. So I've read a lot of books about that. I'm a black belt in jiu-jitsu, so everything jiu-jitsu I can get my hands on, I'm always reading that. Any article on nutrition, sports nutrition, so I'm always constantly subscribing to newsletters. I try to subscribe to newsletters a lot for nutrition. Just keep it short, guys. That's kind of hard. I leave that up to the nutritionist. But I read books on leadership. I'm a big fan of the Jocko Willink podcast. I've read The Extreme Ownership. I follow, there's a guy, what's it? I subscribe to different podcasts on fitness. What's the guy from Indianapolis? I lost his name now.
Mike Robertson?
But, Mike Robertson.
Yeah.
Yeah. I listen to podcasts. I listen to, Mike Mahler. I listen to, but those are the main ones, the podcasts on fitness that I listen to, you know. But I mean, I'm constantly reading. I just like to touch on all of those categories, like spiritual, mental, you know, physical, work stuff, and my hobby of jiu-jitsu. So I feel like there's a lot of correlations about what I'm reading, you know, because as a coach, there's a spiritual component of things, the desire to help people and stuff like that. That doesn't just come naturally for some people. So there's a spiritual component of that. And there's the communication part of things. You know, I want to be clear. I want to be concise. I want to be mindful of the millennial generation or the ADD people or whatever they call it nowadays, you know, I need to be strategic with that stuff. I need to know my stuff. I need to know why I do certain things with these guys or not. I draw a lot of parallels from jiu-jitsu to perseverance, being on the bottom, you know, winning the fight when you got at your last breath. There's a lot of parallels and there's a lot of good lessons from doing martial arts, especially the sport of jiu-jitsu, that is the type of martial art that is designed for the smaller person, the weaker person. So I enjoy bringing some of that into the game and some of the exercises, some of the things that I do with some of those guys. So I like to think that everything I read, I bring it to the guys because I find myself having conversations with players where they were way beyond baseball. And I've had I've developed some really good relationships with some guys that to this day, they still remember that one conversation that I had with them about their personal life, about their spiritual life, or about something they were struggling with. And I was able to, you know, help them with some of that stuff. So I know that all that reading, all that time that I take to myself, and I'm filling my bucket so that I can empty it on them when the time is right.
Yeah, it seems like guys are more likely to open up to strength coaches than any other guy on the staff. And so if you're well-read and well-rounded, you can have those conversations. And those are the conversations that create those good relationships. It's not necessarily the strength and conditioning conversations. It's the life conversations that you have with guys that help build the relationships to make it easier for strength and conditioning stuff, at least in my experience. Yeah.
No, and it's true. You know, you don't have to be an expert on everything, but you need to be able to carry a conversation. And because people always like to work with people they like or people that they connect with. And in order for you to connect with someone, sometimes first, yeah, you got to ask questions about what they're like and what they're interested in. And so if you are well read, and you see, oh, you like hunting. Oh, well, you know. How you guys got to walk 2 miles and, you know, what kind of equipment? And if you're able to carry on an intelligent conversation, that develops to deeper things. And in time, you know, perhaps that one day when the guy's not working, it's like, hey, bro, let's go, you know, let's get it together. You're being lazy today. That is the end result. But at first, you may just start with just the hunting questions and, you know, what kind of rifle you use. And what kind of ammunition you use. So, but if you're a dummy and you don't know anything about anything, then, you know, the conversation stops there.
Exactly. I'm on board with that 100%, man, 100%. So I'd like to do a lightning round with you. 4 questions, as long or as short of answers as you'd like. What do you got?
Sure.
All right, first one. Who is your biggest influence in the field of strength and conditioning?
I say Gene Coleman. Vern Gambetta and Dan John, I'll say the top 3 I can think of. A big impact on me.
Yeah, that's a really good list. One piece of equipment to train with, what would you choose?
Squat rack.
Biggest accomplishment professionally and or personally?
Oof. Being married 25 years.
That's an awesome one.
No, I was just like, I've been in this game for a while, and I've seen so many guys get divorced, so that's a big deal in this game.
Yeah, very big deal. Any career other than strength and conditioning, what would you choose?
I always wanted to be FBI agent.
Really?
Yeah.
It goes with the criminal profiling, right?
Yes. I've always been a big fan of trying to find out why people do what they do, whatever it is, whatever area of life. I just want to know the why. Why are you doing that? I constantly ask my guys that in the weight room, especially the new guys that come from different teams. I'm like, why are you doing that? And if you know why, then cool, I buy in. But if you don't know why, okay, you got to convince me that that's right. So that's a big one for me. The
awesome,
why.
Man. My wife's been watching Criminal Minds lately, and she's really into that stuff too. And I'll kind of, you know, eat my dinner and sit in and watch with her. And she's like, oh, this guy's doing this because this. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. But she's into it.
Yeah,
so.
I like that stuff. I've watched many shows like that and movies like that.
For sure. So it's been fun, man. I've had a good time talking to you. A lot of good stuff. If the listeners want to get in touch with you, where can we get more? Are you on social media or is there a better place?
Rangerstrength.com. I mean, Ranger Strength is our Twitter and Instagram. I think it's Facebook too.
Perfect. I'll link that up with the show, and I appreciate you coming on, man, and we'll be talking soon.
All right, everybody, that concludes this episode with Jose. I hope you enjoyed this one. It was really good to hear his thoughts on player evaluation and testing and on heavy in-season lifting. Three things that I took from Jose: have a single unified message for your whole staff, know what you believe in, and always strive to get better. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.